evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Your friendly bishop has got lost and ended up in Standish. I hope you don't mind. It's great for me to be with you all of you this evening, here for this important event in the life of this parish. Now, some of you may wonder why Father Tom has to be formally installed as a pastor in this parish. This is what's happening tonight, in case you didn't know. I'm installing him as the pastor of this parish. Well, the Code of Canon Law, and we all like the law of the church, right? States that I or somebody that I designate, which would be a regional vicar, places the pastor in possession of the parish to which he has been assigned. And certainly I can dispense from formally ritually doing this, but I feel it's important for the whole parish, at least those who are present, to be able to witness this. So what is the role of a pastor? Father, do you know? I will tell you. Let me tell you. The role of the pastor is not just to take care of you. That would be paternalistic. Well, this is listening carefully, Father, to this one. The role of the pastor is to excite you. To excite you, to stir you up so that you might hear the voice of God in new and different ways. This was the life of Jesus as he stirred up the people so that they might hear the voice of the Father in new and different ways. You know, every priest is ordained to be both a shepherd and a servant, but also a leader following the model of Jesus Christ. Your leadership is an important, vital aspect of a pastor's life. But leadership, as important as it is, must never be confused with the pastor's ultimate calling. God calls pastors like the rest of us to follow Jesus. But not only to follow Jesus, but to be his living presence in the community in which we find ourselves. So a pastor, a shepherd, must create this environment where a parish can be a home of both saints and sinners. How many saints among us? Okay. Father, you have a lot of work to do. How many sinners? Father, you have a lot of work to do. But it's to create this environment, this place for saints and sinners to gather, to experience the healing presence and mercy of Christ, who pours out upon us the mercy of the Father. So what's the first duty of your pastor? Father, do you know? I will tell you. It's not programs. It's not organizing projects. It's not administration. No. Father, the first duty of a pastor is to lead his people to a deep intimacy with Trinitarian love, the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The role of the pastor is to assist others in recognizing Jesus amongst them, so that all of you may experience the joy of this life in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the role of a pastor, a shepherd, is to lead others to Christ, so that they too can follow and share in Christ's mission. Father Tom, tonight, in formally being installed as the pastor of this parish, you formally become the leader in this community, the spiritual guide who helps others to find the Lord. So Father Tom, be a true father to this community. Be a true father, be one who deep He listens to the people of this community. Be one who deeply loves and thought, word, and deed the people of this community. And my dear friends, each one of you, whether you know it or not, I'm going to tell you, each of you are co-partners in this venture with Jesus. Each one of you are called to work in concert with your pastor in building the kingdom of God in this community. So, may you always build with the love of Christ that is within each one of you. May you all always build with the mercy of Christ, which is continually offered to each one of you. And may you always build with the generosity of Christ, which has been given to each one of you. So now, my friends, it is my privilege and pleasure to present to you your pastor, Brother Thomas Carroll.
For me, for all of us.
You know, so often, don't we? We just pray and ask for something because we feel we need it. Or we pray for someone else's needs, whatever it may be, because they need it. And that's good. That's good. There's nothing wrong in praying this way. It speaks of our dependence upon God, and it's an important for us to pray this way. It's most important for us to petition God. Right? Even though God knows all of our needs and beyond, before we even ask it. So again, it speaks to our independence upon Him. But sometimes I have to say, if you judge that this is your own situation in your own life, sometimes this dependence comes in the form of usury. What do I mean by that? That we use this relationship. So how often do we only go to pray when we want something from Him? Right? How often do we only go to God when we want something from Him? When we want some need of ours to be satisfied? Don't you think that's a little bit of a usury relationship? I'm going to come to you, Lord, but I need you. So often our focus is only about us and our needs or the needs of others. Something wrong with that. I mean, that's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. Perhaps a better approach would be to ask, not because we want something or because we need it, but because we have this loving Father who wants to give it to us, give it out of love for us. In this way, our focus is on God's generosity. Not on what I want. It's on God's generosity instead of ourselves. Because this approach, this kind of approach to prayer, it reveals a desire and an intimacy and a closeness to the Lord. It speaks more of a love relationship with Him. Lord, I know you will know all of my needs. I don't even have to say them. But I'm going to come to you because I just love you. And that alone. Don't give it to me if you don't want me to have it. Your will be done, not mine. Imagine. I just surrendered in love to you, Lord, because you love me more than I can possibly imagine. Imagine if our prayer was like that every day. Your life would be totally changed. I promise that I go to the Lord out of my gratitude and thanksgiving for all that He's given to me, trusting that He will give to me what I need most. You know, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer reveals this reality. You know, the Lord's Prayer is something this oftentimes just comes off our lips, right? We don't really think at all what we're saying. But the beginning of the Lord's Prayer reveals this reality. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Blessed be your name. Great is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, bring your will in heaven down to earth. Whatever that might be, that's what we're praying. Whether you think about that or not, that's the reality of this prayer that Jesus gave us. So here our prayer begins with where God is being honored above all. We should never go to prayer, asking for something unless we first give thanks for what we've already been given. That's the pattern of prayer. Right? So here our prayer begins where God is honored above all. He's the highest value in our lives. It's not the things we need. He's the highest value in our lives. So He's the focus of our prayer and the first one we acknowledge. And all we desire is His will to come from heaven down to earth into our lives. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. In other words, we're not some random person whom God has chosen to love on a whim. You are not some random person that God has chosen to love on a whim. He created each one of you out of love, deep and profound love. To be loved and for love. We've been formed, you've been formed, all of us have been formed in His image and likeness. Right? And then we can never cease to be never cease to be. Now, how big of a sinner? You all raise your hands that you're sinners. We're all sinners. But we can never cease to be precious in God's eyes. Never. He loves us at all times, in all conditions, in all ways. God is capable, God is incapable of only one thing. You might thought God's not incapable of anything. God is incapable of only one thing. The only thing, the one thing that God is incapable of doing is to stop loving. In the words of St. Teresa of Calcutta, she said, God has created us to love and to be loved. And she said, this is the beginning of prayer. To know that he loves me, that I have been created for greater things. Some people have been that long. But notice at the end of Gospel, we heard these words. Jesus doesn't say, how much more will the Father in heaven give good things, or things that are needed, or things that we want to those who ask him? He didn't say that. But he says these words, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Perhaps there's a reason for this. Perhaps it's because the Holy Spirit is this deep, profound love between the Father and the Son. And this is what the Father wants you and me to have most, the love between the Father and the Son. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is what is most important in the life of the disciple of Jesus. And it is. But we must ask for it, and it will be given to us. Or perhaps it's because the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to love God and our neighbor as Jesus did, enabling you and me to lay down our lives for the sake of others as he laid down his life for you and for me. So perhaps today, friends, we can all pray for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit and pray for it daily, trusting that everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door to the heart of the Father and Son will be opened. And like Abraham, may you and I have audacity to pray for such a gift, knowing that God is outrageous enough to give it to us, not so much because we need it or we want it, but because in receiving this tremendous gift,